Our poor productivity performance and two-speed economy suggest Australia's not as well prepared as it should be, perhaps, for when the resources boom inevitably dries up. We're often told the way to future prosperity is through innovation. But what is innovation, and how do you persuade business to be more creative? The man whose job it was to do just that in Britain is our guest. Sir George Cox is a former head of the British Design Council and the UK Institute of Directors. He currently sits on the board of the New York Stock Exchange and is the author of the 2005 Cox Review, commissioned by the British government to examine creativity in business. Sir George will deliver a lecture tonight at the UTS Business School in Sydney. Sir George, welcome to breakfast.
I'm delighted to be here.
Can a nation be productive and not creative, or in your view are the two critically connected?
No, in the modern world, you've got to be creative. One thing we've been seeing with the current financial crisis is the accelerating shift in political influence and commercial influence in the world. You can see that shifting. And you've got to say, in this world, how do we earn our living? And just as you've got the issue with minerals, the United Kingdom, we've been too reliant on financial services for, mm-hmm. for some time. And you think, well, you know, how do we actually generate wealth in the future? And you can't do it on just as products, just as services. You have to innovate. And to innovate, you have to use design.
So if you're innovating, is it necessarily all about creativity? I mean, what are we talking about when we're talking about creativity in business? Are we talking about, you know, people with good taste and good artistic skills, or sort of, you know, crazy wacky ideas? What are we talking about?
No, it certainly is about crazy wacky ideas. We often think of design as being really concerned with just appearance and aesthetics, and it's not. Creativity is the generation of new ideas. Innovation is putting them into practice as new products, new services, new ways of doing things, and design is what links them.
So what are the people you need in a corporation? Say it's a company that's I guess you can see the need for design in a manufacturing company, but say it is a bank or some other major corporation where you don't necessarily think design is an essential component.
Well, if you ever tried to deal with a bank and lots of the internet services, you realize just how badly designed some of these services are at present. It comes into all worlds you wouldn't expect. Public sector, enormously, because all governments, or local, state, etc., all have to deal with the problem of greater and greater demand from the public, greater demand from society, less money to do it with. That goes for health, it goes with transportation. You've got to use design to solve these problems. You can't solve them by throwing resources at them. The problem of hospitals, you can't have just more and more nurses, you just pour money in. You have to use the time much more effectively. So when you talk about productivity, we've thought in the past about, you know, factory workers. No, it's high-skilled workers, it's doctors, nurses, it's police officers. That's the key.
And why is that the key to productivity? The doctors, the nurses, the...
Well, I'll give you an example. You know, a doctor has got very limited time to see patients. How do you use that time to good effect? I'll give you a very simple one that we did in the UK. Within the National Health Service, a doctor is allowed 8 minutes normally. That's what's scheduled to see a patient. Mm. Now, many of those people come in, they're shy, they're embarrassed, they don't speak the language in many cases. And the Design Council came up with a scheme where people were given a deck of cards the night before, and you went through them. You know, am I feeling sweaty? How long has this been going on? And they pull them out. When they go to the doctor the next day, they just give them to them. You cut through a lot of wasted time on diagnosis. Simple things.
So it's the old adage, working smarter, not harder.
Working smarter, not harder. That's absolutely it.
With the Cox Review, the 2005 Cox Review that you headed up in Britain, people say that had greater impact. What impact? What came out of the Cox Review? Can you explain to Australia what changed in Britain as a result of that? You just give an example of the NHS.
Right.
Give us another sense, perhaps.
Yeah, this review came out of economic imperative. This whole question about how do the UK earn its living in a highly competitive world, a world which, you know, economic growth will return, how do you get your slice of it? You know, we've lost a lot of low-skilled jobs to what we call the developing countries, but now it's the high-skilled jobs under threat, and you don't have a right to those. And so it looked at that and looked at what we could do about it, and it came up with a number of recommendations. And then what was significant was, I think it's about the first time that I can recall, that this whole issue of how do you apply creativity to business and to the public sector was being addressed at the highest level in government. You know, it was commissioned by Gordon Brown, who was a chancellor at the time. And what happened then, what surprised me afterwards, because this is a UK review, the international interest in it. You know, I was asked to speak around the world at the Economic Forum in Davos, and that's not because it's a brilliant report. Lots of people, every industrialised nation is facing this issue.
Did business respond, and is it something that has to come from business, or can government drive innovation through good policy?
Policies can help, particularly if government is an astute buyer. Remember, most governments spend 30 to 40% of their GDP, and if they're more astute buyers, then it encourages innovative businesses to supply them. But part of the focus went on getting smaller companies who've never used design, never thought of this, getting them involved. And these, it's reached something like nearly 2,500 small companies. Now, that doesn't change the economy, but each one of these small companies that see how they can return to growth, they can all of a sudden, a declining business can have a future, they broadcast that message to other small companies. And it's had quite an effect like that, and you can see it escalating.
I suppose there's an importance, too, of government backing the right infrastructure projects to support innovation and productivity. What's
very
the
much.
Link there? I mean, we've got a debate in the country at the moment about the NBN here,
yep.
high-speed broadband.
Yep.
Incredibly expensive. A lot of people think it's too much money for the gain you're going to get out of it. But those kind of arguments are had at every point.
Yep. An awful lot of things. I get quite a good example this morning I've never encountered before. The little car hire scheme. Very neat. You know, where you could hire a car locally without booking it. I thought, that's just great. You know, I haven't encountered that elsewhere. A lot of these solutions to the problems we have in transportation, that it just wants imagination. They're soluble problems. And government plays a role, I think, in creating an environment with that, setting up the infrastructure for it, encouraging it. There's a role for government without getting to picking winners and investing in individual companies or anything like that.
You've travelled the world talking about this, looking at this. Is productivity laziness, which is, we've been going backwards in terms of productivity in this country, let's call it productivity laziness, is it a syndrome of countries with vast mineral wealth?
I think it's a syndrome of countries which have done very well in the past and have been advanced economies. That goes for all of Europe, it goes for North America, it goes for...
Reform fatigue.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't need to change. You see it in companies too. The companies that concern me most aren't those that are in trouble. When you're in trouble, you act. It's a company which is just going nowhere, and it's got potential. And I think nations have been a bit like this. Certainly in the United Kingdom, we've been through a great period where we burnt off all our North Sea oil and gas without really getting a long-term benefit from it. We've done tremendously well in financial services, and it's still very important. But we've let so many other things decline and lost our position in the world.
And, you know, they say necessity is the mother of invention for sure, and a company that's in trouble, then it acts, but it's how you act. And we're looking at the moment, yep. The Eurozone, looking at austerity measures, cutbacks,
yep.
The quickest path to growth and lower debt. But is that old thinking?
No, I think when you're in a crisis, and this applies to a nation or a company, your first thing is you often have to cut costs because you can't grow the revenue fast enough. And I've done this in companies myself. But that can't be your future. You can't cut your way to greatness. You've got to say, okay, there's a period of austerity. We cut back because we've been overspending, you know, et cetera. But beyond that, there's a future. And even in this climate now, believe me, tomorrow's winners are being formed now. Tomorrow's Microsoft is being formed in someone's garage as we're talking. The business the cases that we'll study in business schools in 10 years' time, they're being formed now. Even in tough times, there are winners and losers.
But it all depends on who's leading and who's making these decisions. So we need to be developing, fostering visionaries. We've talked about spending on infrastructure, tax policies.
Yeah.
How do you foster that kind of thinking?
You need leadership. I think you've got people who've got to take the long-term view, can see the big picture, not just dealing with the problems that hit their tray that day. You've got to say, this is where we're going. This is a company, a nation. And now there are companies in this environment doing great. And many, you know, you can see the effect of design. You take the car company Jaguar. Jaguar's just announced 1,500 new jobs in the Midlands and England. You know, they can't get the skills fast enough in this climate because they've completely revamped their range. You know, they're selling like hotcakes around the world. You know, there is a future if you grab it.
George Cox, thank you so much for joining us on
My
Breakfast.
Pleasure.
So George Cox is business and entrepreneurial expert and a former head of the British Design Council. He'll be delivering a talk on creativity in business at the UTS Business School in Sydney tonight. It's 21 past 8.